I think so.
We're ready?
You never missed this good.
Okay. July 17th, 2019, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Huntington Review, Courier News, the Express Times, Huntington County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our servicemen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First, we have the presentation of the minutes. We'll do this in two different steps. The first is the regular and executive session minutes of June 19th, 2019. Does anyone have any comments, updates, corrections, or would there be a motion to approve both minutes?
I'll make a motion to, unless anybody has any comments.
Second.
No, go ahead.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular and executive session of June 19th, 2019.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And second, two special meetings, one of June 20th, 2019, and the second of July 9th, 2019. Any comments, questions?
I would like to table the executive session minutes of July 9th, 2019 until we get into executive session. Karen said that's the way I can handle it.
Okay. So then we'll take that separately. Then the minutes of June 20th, 2019, both the minutes of the special joint meeting and the minutes of the joint executive session. Any comments to those?
Which ones are we tabling?
July 9th, 2019, executive session, the joint meeting.
And the reason?
We'll talk about it in executive session.
Should we table both the July 9th regular minutes of the special meeting and the executive session?
If you would like to hold the motion completely till the end, I think would be fine. And then once you come out of executive session, you could approve all of them.
Oh.
If you want to do it that way, just hold the motion.
Okay. We'll do that.
That's then. Okay.
So we'll take all of the next minutes to executive session and discuss potential action when they come out.
We will only be discussing in closed the July 9 closed executive minutes, though. Even though we're holding everything, would be the subject of conversation.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next, we would open the meeting to public comments limited to agenda items only. That would be that motion.
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if anyone would like to make a public comment, limited to the agenda items. Seeing none, is there a motion to close the public comment? I think if you're on the agenda, you can speak later during your section, I think.
I mean, is there agendas around it?
The agenda's on the table up here. Is there a motion to close the public comment?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So the first item is the introduction of Ordinance Number 2019-06, an ordinance creating the Office of Administrator of the Township of Lebanon, prescribing the term and duties thereof, and providing for appointments thereto and compensation therefor. Public hearing on this ordinance, if introduced, would be on August 7th, 2019. This has been distributed to the committee. Does anyone have any comments that they'd like to bring up tonight?
Yeah, might as well do it early. I went through it, and I have a few comments here, and one of them is if we were to appoint an administrator, it's a majority vote, two-thirds, but if you were to remove an administrator, it's a super quorum, I guess the four out of five super majority.
I don't know if you misspoke. You said to appoint, it's a regular majority, not two-thirds.
This is three out of five. The majority would be three out of five.
I mean, I defer to the attorney, but that's the way I read it. Yeah.
To create and appoint, that's correct. And to remove, the supermajority, you stated correctly also.
And we can't have them be the same. What makes one?
The statute
Okay,
I mean,
so it's a statute.
The similar to other positions we talk about, statutory protections, it's a statutory protection.
All right, as long as it's statutory, not something that...
Statute cuts in both directions in that it's a, quote, pleasure of the committee,
mm-hmm.
but the displeasure is required to be expressed by a four-fifths vote.
Okay. The other comment I had is Section 3, qualifications, B, as in boy. No elected member of the governing body shall be eligible for appointment as township administrator during the member's term of office, nor within 1 year after the expiration of said term. I was kind of surprised at that because it seems like a conflict of interest to me to have somebody leave this committee possibly and a year later become the administrator when you may still have some people on the committee.
That's this is another stated boundary. It's just restating the current status of the law, meaning it's a minimum. It doesn't mean doesn't entitle anyone to be appointed. It's an express minimum that you cannot be you can't be appointed within that 1 year time frame. It falls under statute and local government ethics. It's simply a restatement. It could be removed, and it's still applicable. That same standard's still applicable.
I just would hate to encourage it.
I'll take full responsibility for putting.
It is encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, I put those words on paper because mm-hmm. I was trying to just. But the point is it's not encouraging it. It's saying you can't be. It doesn't mean that after 366 days you can be. After 366 days. Legally, you can be, but this doesn't create any right to be.
Yeah, I know, but I just feel like you could get a committee that have three people that want to put somebody on, and then you've got this power thing of three on a committee and an administrator, and I also think it can disrupt the office, because, for example, say like I left the committee and people knew that I could come in later. The employees are going to act funny. People are going to act strange. People on the committee are going to act strange. I think it causes paranoia. I think there's a lot of conflict.
I'm not taking any position with regard to your observation. I'm just saying that there's nothing in that paragraph that gives anybody a right to be an administrator. And it's the opposite. It precludes them. It's a prohibition. It is
a
1 year prohibition because that's the state of the law. So,
yeah. How does anybody else feel about that?
I'd leave it where it is. It's the law. Yeah. And even if we take it out, it's admissible by law.
And it would take three members of the committee to be involved in that kind of a
scheme
to do it.
It's three out of five vote on anything else, too.
It could happen.
I would like to see it as at least a supermajority. But if it's not that in the law, you know, whatever they call it, when you have four out of five, that could hire that, but then you're going back to by law.
Again, the intent and the actual wording is a prohibition, not giving permission to do anything. I don't believe that as written that gives anybody any right. What it does is limit somebody's right. It does. I mean, I know it limits it
by a year, but to me, I think it's
that's the full extent of the law right now.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you can push that, but I'm telling you what I am certain of is that you can, and there is imposed a 1 year disqualification from somebody leaving this committee to get into that role.
Okay. Well, I'll just voice my concern that I think it should be removed, even though it's part of the law, and leave it at that. This other section here, I just question for Matt.
What number?
I'm getting there. Section 6, temporary appointment during absence or disability. Section 2 of this ordinance shall not apply to any appointment made to this section. I'm not sure what that means.
The temporary appointment won't get the full vestiges of somebody who is appointed through the full process. So that giving us the ability to fill the role, say it's medical, say it's caught shorthanded, whatever the reason may be, that if this all comes to pass and business is run in a certain manner, that role can be temporarily filled while a replacement is sought or while the whole thing is, whatever that may be, so that we don't create the fully statutorily protected rights in that temporarily appointed person.
Well, that makes sense. And then along those lines, that, again, goes back to it could never be like temporarily a committee person or somebody takes, it would be...
No.
To
appoint, I'm not saying it has never happened. I'm saying it would be my advice and my opinion, legal opinion, that you cannot do that. I have seen it happen, but I don't believe that a member of the elected body is eligible for that position, whether compensated or not.
So how does that happen if it's not legal?
I wouldn't speak to that because it hasn't happened in any of the towns that I've represented. I would strongly state that under the authorities that we're granting in this ordinance, we're creating a position that it cannot be filled by an elected official, even on an interim basis.
Can we add that language to this section? That it cannot be filled temporarily by an elected official? Or is it covered in the state statute?
I believe it's covered. I believe it's within the local government ethics law with regard to appointing yourself to a position or benefiting directly or indirectly from your role on the committee, that it is covered.
Okay, well...
Your insertion of it, that's a management decision you guys can make here tonight.
Well, this is the introduction, so we can...
Well, but this is what gets published, and if we make major changes after it's published, then we have to republish. So this would be the time to make those changes.
Well, I would like to put that in there.
That under Section 6, that no elected official shall be eligible to serve in this role?
Right. And I don't know if you want to take it up to county level, the Lebanon Township County Committee elected officials plus this committee.
Or an elected official.
Just say elected official within the town. Yeah, I mean, if it's within the township, that's what I'm more concerned about.
They're not elected Republican committee. They're not elected officials. It would cover these five people.
They are, yeah. They're on the ballot, the county committee.
Yeah, but they're officials of a private organization. They're not officials of the township. I defer to
the term. Well, I mean, they're elected officials. Every time they have a gathering, they... laud the elected officials, and they're always included.
I defer to the attorney. If they would be,
I'm not clear as to what the question is.
The elected Executive members of the committee? Republican and Democratic local committees that comprise then the Hunterdon County political party.
Well, I'm certain you can ban yourselves. Whether the role that they're elected to, and I would say that those positions are elected because you become on that. Whether it's a private organization, you become on it through ballot access, whether it be one vote or 100.
So if we ban elected officials, they're banned.
Now, I don't know that that's not an overreach because they don't play a role in this government, but for in the possibility of a vacancy. I believe it would be an aggressive... But I wouldn't say it was impermissible, but I can't say with certainty. I don't know that anybody has ever done that. I'm certain you can ban yourselves. I am not certain you can ban somebody's a member of that executive committee, either side. There's two sides, apparently, that they apply and that their participation, that it may infringe on their affiliation, right to affiliate and their right to speech, if they're barred from it because there's not a great enough interest in the role that they have. You have an interest. You have a controlling decision here. So that is clearly going to create a conflict. They are involved in a different portion of an elected office. I can't give you certainty, and I'd be quite honest with you, I don't believe if you give me a month, I can give you certainty on that. I just think it's an untested question. And that's might be an overreach.
Just wanted to add for transparency, we have three committee members of the Republican Party. That makes a majority on this township committee.
The executive committee, the local municipal, the part of the county executive, which is the municipal committee. Well, again, banning yourselves would accomplish we would eliminate three of those potential eligible people.
If you ban yourselves as a township committee person, but say I want to put my other hat on and be an executive committee person.
Well, you're banned, but you're banned because it's not an either or. Mm-hmm. Again, to say no elected official shall serve in this, we should define if by the elected official we mean a member, we should say a member of township committee.
Okay, that's fine.
How's that language going to read?
My suggestion is, and it's just my suggestion, I don't know if this accomplishes your goal or not, but simply that no member, no current member of the township committee shall be eligible to serve under this provision, which is Section 6.
And you're sure about the county elected position?
Pardon me, I'm sorry, Brian.
You're sure about the county
elected? No, I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I said I'm not sure either way.
It's not an objective group. I mean, they're sitting on our committee. We have a majority on our committee.
That's separate involvement, but I mean, I have to consider
just
the rights
trying
of.
To get clarification.
I have to consider the right. If you serve in both, you're out because we are assuming we're making this change, which it sounds like we are. The other person who may be involved only in the executive committee, I'm not certain that we can limit their rights. They could say, I'm not even a member of the executive committee of the party of the people who are all sitting up there. How are you going to limit my rights because I voted for myself because I wanted to be involved? I have no control over township finances or government in any way, and you're banning me. I'm not certain that would be.
Well, that makes more sense to me. I wasn't clear.
Enforceable, yeah. But again, somebody, one of the five members today or in the future, wears both hats. They're eliminated if you guys make this change, simply because they're up with the dais. Okay. You can limit your rights and the rights of a future township committee member.
So just to clarify, that sentence would be added as the last sentence of Section 6?
The last sentence of Section 6, if you guys move to amend and there's an affirmative vote to do so.
Is there any objection to that? Otherwise, we'll take the motion at the end of all the changes, but that's the first change.
And then I would, Mayor, I'm sorry to interrupt, but anticipating this may not be the last issue, that it may be advisable in this regard, this is a very big undertaking, that we consider each separately, only because I don't know that at the end, if we have seven of them, it'd be easier to track if you hold separate votes. Karen, I don't know if you disagree, if you have a preference.
No, I agree.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And then with the thought there is obviously then the Section 3, Section B also carries forward with the not qualifying for a year.
Right.
That statute.
Correct. Correct.
So the motion.
I have a question. In the event of a vacancy after 3 months and the administrator's position is considered vacant and the township chooses not to hire another administrator, is there any type of resolution that's needed by this committee to relate the powers and terms of the administrator back to the committee? Not that they're taking anything away from it. Is there anything we have to say if we don't want to fulfill this administrator position in the future?
That's a good question.
If you create the position and what you just say happens, it would be my advice to the committee that you are at a decision point of getting rid of it by ordinance. Or if you're considering and hiring and all, I would not take it off the books. So the position, if the ordinance passes, it's going to exist and it's going to sit there until you guys put it away.
But we want that ordinance to stay on the books, but we don't want to fill that, for whatever reason that may be. Is there any kind of resolution, a yearly resolution, that would be adopted by this committee to make sure there's a transfer of powers or anything like that?
No. It's my position that the powers are yours until delegated, and if you delegate them and the seat becomes absent, that they're your powers. You would have to absolutely, and it's stated here, there'd have to be a formal resolution with an affirmative vote that the office was vacant. You could get into a situation where somebody is illness or some type of limitation that a person comes in every time you get to that whatever day and comes in and is here for a day and does a moderate amount of whatever. It could be a trying to freeze out, so we would need to take formal action, but I think once you did that, you'd be covered.
That answers my question. Thank you.
So just to nail this down before you go on to
the next
thing, I think we need a motion. The motion before us would be to amend Section 6, adding the sentence as stated by Attorney Lyons. Would anyone like that sentence reread?
Sounded good to me.
Then is there a motion to amend the draft ordinance, Section 6, as stated by the attorney?
Make a motion to...
I'll second.
Roll call?
No.
Yes.
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 So, Mayor, just a question for Section 7 conversation. Do we ever come up with any harder numbers of what the total is going to be to hire this individual? With the benefits and such?
That's not related to the ordinance right now, but I don't have the final accounting of that, no. It's still in process.
Okay, so then on page 7, F, small f, it's under subsection 8.3, fiscal affairs, but it's over on page 7, F. Be responsible for the case needs of the township. And then G says be responsible for the cash needs of the township.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure it's not a typo. I didn't.
It is a typo.
I was thinking case study. I didn't.
No, you're correct.
So what is it? Is that a duplicate? Cash. Is F and G duplicated then? Because that's what it looks like. They're saying the same thing except for that word. All right, so we get rid of G, I guess.
The G gets excised in its entirety.
And then cash becomes F.
And case becomes cash in F.
All right.
Do you want a motion for that? Or
yes, let's clear the deck. Yes, let's formally do that, please. Okay.
Is there a motion to revise Section F, the word case, to be cash, and then to delete point G in subsection 8.3?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
All right. Let's see if there's anything else here. The township, this is section 8.9, public improvements. This is an easy question. Page 10. The township administrator shall make recommendations concerning the nature and location of public improvements. I'm not sure how you define public improvements. Is that roads? Is it?
It's written to be as broad as possible. You want and to place that entire obligation on them. It's roads, it's buildings, it's recreational facilities.
But they're authorized by the committee, so that's good.
Well, he's an extension of us.
Yeah, so he's an extension
of the committee.
Yeah, because he's going to make, or he or she is going to make recommendations based on what we're trying to do. That's what that means.
Yes.
Okay. Suggestions, recommendations. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I only have one more. This is just for my own education here. Page 12. Section 10, bond. The township administrator shall furnish a surety bond to be approved by the governing body, said bond to be conditioned upon the faithful performance of duties. The premium of said bond shall be paid by the township. What does that do for us? I know it protects us, but what is the...
Yeah, not all positions are bonded. Normally, it's obviously people dealing with cash, and it's not normal. It's not a daily thing that this person would be. However, in our, we're not a large government, so I put it in there. It can be taken out of there to provide the widest coverage or that you can get the most out of that person.
Can you give me an example of when that would protect us, like just so I could put it in a frame of reference?
Well, if it could be something very minor where they're taking some payment in a small amount, but I've had, you don't need to go far to read about even private organizations where somebody misdirects $20 a time twice a week for 5 years, and the next thing you know, part of the organization is missing $5,000 or whatever. So it would be an attempt to, or it would be the purpose of, to bond against any kind of problem like that.
So then what would happen is if that was $5,000 missing, then whoever issued this bond would give us the $5,000 to replenish?
That would be how it should work, yes. Normally they would tell us why they're not going to pay us, but and what exemption there was, or exception there was, but yes, that is the intent.
Should there be a value? What's the value of the surety bond?
I'd have to go out and we'd have to place that, so to speak. I don't think it would be much because of the limited role, but I didn't quote that.
I mean, we have bonds for our treasurer.
Yeah, what, I don't
CFO
know what
we're like.
We have two, the tax collector and the Greg, the CFO.
They're required. Yeah. You know, we don't have any discretion in that. This
and so
this,
what's their value?
I would have to take a look at it.
Okay. It's a couple hundred.
Yeah, I'm sure it relates to the size of our overall budget. I mean,
okay. I just, you know.
The company's going to have higher than the.
Well, so I'm wondering, do we pay for it? Does that person come in and we have to reimburse them?
No, it says here that the township would pay the.
No, we're invoiced for them annually.
We pay the other.
And then we get the actual
bond
in with the insurance documents.
Okay. Then my last comment, and this is just a broad comment, is this is an extremely comprehensive document and job description. Does anybody feel that this can be done part-time? I'm just going to say that for now.
I will take, this was difficult in the time frame, but I intentionally made it comprehensive, and I don't take any, I always just felt it would be easier for everything to be on there and be considered, and you guys make your decisions as you always do. So if it's overly comprehensive, that was actually my intent for once. Normally it happens just because of the way lawyers draft documents, but I absolutely intentionally wanted to be as comprehensive in laying out the duties because, again, as I said, this is a very big decision. I want everybody to understand. And it's culled mostly from the statute and other statutes, the statute regarding our form of government and the administrator position.
Yeah, and you know what I'm saying. It's, you know, you're good depending on how anything might be crafted.
It's comprehensive.
You have a half a person, and where do you pick and choose? And is there anything by state law they have to do versus we can just make up what they do, or you just want to get your money's worth? That's what I'm saying.
That was my intent, was to make it. I intentionally want it to be as comprehensive as possible, understanding that they're your duties and for you to, as a group, to decide which ones to delegate.
And that's the key point, that it gives us the ability to have the administrator support us in this broad range of functions. It's not that we turn everything over to the administrator, but if we didn't have something in here and we said, we talked about road improvements.
Yeah. I get it.
We said, could you evaluate road improvements? Oh, by ordinance, he can't.
Yeah.
Well, she can't. Well, way we have a broad range of tasks that we can assign.
An item comes up and it's
manage.
In here. It's
right. No, I totally get that. I'm.
You know, it doesn't mean that all these points are going to be the first.
No, it's kind of
It's a lot. But
it's a lot of stuff, and it really. This is the first time I really, really understood what a full-time administrator would do for a corporation or for a municipal corporation, and it just depending on if one gets hired, what the arrangement is, if it's a shared services, how do we ensure that we're getting our money's worth, even if it's half price, because you know on top of half price you're adding, you know, the benefits or whatever they want. So I just want to make sure that it doesn't, you have somebody here and they're being pulled in a couple of hundred different directions and our stuff never gets done.
Well, that's our goals that we set forward for that person to get accomplished, and that's part of what we'll end up doing.
Yeah.
And
so we have to set up. Well, anyway, we're not that far down the road yet. So,
but this gives us our roadmap to set up those goals.
Exactly.
Any further comments?
We need a motion to introduce.
Unless there are any other further comments, there would be a motion to introduce, and I believe it would be Ordinance 2019-06 with the two amendments that were approved.
Mayor, my only comment is I think it really takes away our small town character. And, I just think it'll never be going back to what it was in a negative way, I believe.
Any other comments?
I'll make a motion to introduce ordinance number 2019-06, an ordinance with the changes as noted, an ordinance creating the Office of Administrator of the Township of Lebanon, prescribing the terms, duties thereof, and providing for the appointments thereto and compensation therefor.
I'll second.
Roll call?
No.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, so public hearing on that will be August 7th, 2019. With that, we're on to our resolutions. First resolution, 65-2019, related to the wastewater management plan. Unless the clerk tells me we've received an update. Okay, we will also put this aside unless there's any objection until the end of the meeting. We're waiting for the engineer's update to see if we can postpone this to the next meeting or if it is time sensitive, so we'll put that aside. Resolution 66-2019, extending the tax grace period. We as a township wait for the county and others to certify the tax rates to us in order to send out our tax bills. We look to give, I guess, or by law, we give 25 days of grace period from the mailing date for the return of the first quarterly tax payment. So this resolution will authorize us to institute a grace period of at least 25 days, and we don't know exactly when the tax bills are going out. The rate just came in. They now have to be printed. Last year there was some delay in mailing of the printing, so this is really, at this point, just to give us flexibility for that grace period.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I just have one comment. Statues should be statutes. I think last year the same thing happened. That's why I looked for it.
On the therefore be a resolved line?
Yeah.
Statutes.
I'll make a motion with the change for resolution 66-2019 extending August 2019 grace period.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have resolution 67-2019 entering a memorandum of understanding with the American Red Cross. We have with us our Office of Emergency Management Coordinator, Joe Maurizio. Joe, would you want to come to the table and give us a little background of what this is?
So my understanding is this is something relatively new that the Red Cross is doing between itself and municipalities. I believe it's really just laying out ground rules and parameters just for cohesiveness in the time of need, and that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
And they approached us to enter this?
I received this as an attachment in an email.
Yep.
And I talked to Karen about it, and she suggested that it had to come before the board.
And for everyone's background, we had the attorney review it.
Made some minor changes just simply to adhere to New Jersey law. That was it. No substantive change. Well, that's a substantive change, but nothing about procedure. I defer to the experts in that regard.
And as I read it, it creates no undue obligations on the township. It's cancelable if we find an issue with it. But it provides...
It clearly states that.
Yes, it clearly states that. But it provides all the connections, so when we have an emergency, as I also read it, it points out, for example, if there's a regional or statewide or big, large emergency and the Red Cross is mandated by, say, the federal government to provide relief, we agree to follow their procedures, and if it's a very local issue, they agree to follow our
federal
procedures.
Federal, state, and county, it breaks it right down.
So. Yep. Any comments or questions for Joe?
It's very comprehensive. I had a question for Matt. If an elected official wanted to take Red Cross training and help in an emergency, is that a conflict with the township?
No, I don't see how it would be, no.
Yeah.
Training to actually provide assistance.
Yeah, it says here, it mentions in some instances Red Cross trained municipal employees may wish to respond as Red Cross volunteers during a disaster. I was just thinking.
I guess the only thing they would be, if they're serving in the role as a volunteer.
Right.
You know, they're not, quote, coordinating or calling the shots. They'd fit into the they'd fall under their auspices
and under their insurance.
But, yeah, I don't believe there's any element of conflict. Correct. That would bar anyone from doing that. Just acknowledging they're taking off one hat and putting on hopefully a hard hat.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So, unless there's any other discussion, Resolution 67, 2019, resolving that the Township Committee of Lebanon authorize the mayor and township clerk to execute a memorandum of understanding between the American Red Cross and the Township of Lebanon in the form attached here too. Is there a motion for that resolution?
I'll make the motion, as stated by the mayor, to adopt resolution number 67, 2019.
Second.
Okay.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next, we have resolution 68, 2019. This is for an application. Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
This is for an application for the...
He comes in, and the thunder happens.
For the New Jersey Department of Transportation, a application to upgrade the so-called guide rails, sometimes called guardrails, on Hollow Road. Not to be confused with the grant that we executed for Hickory Run, but this is for next year, or for the current grant cycle. This would be in the amount of $150,000 for replacing the guide rail on Hollow Road. And this would authorize the mayor and clerk to sign and submit that application. Any discussion, comments, or a motion to approve resolution 68-2019?
I make a motion to approve resolution 68-2019 for the approval to submit a grant application for Hollow Road beam guide rail replacement project.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And before we leave this topic, I just want to put in the record that I want to thank Warren Gabriel, our DPW supervisor. These grant applications come in. We turn it over to Warren. He knows exactly what would be a good application. And then our engineer, Steve Reese, who goes and executes it. Mm-hmm. And we've received three Department of Transportation grants the last 3 years, which are actually rather competitive. So hopefully we get this safety upgrade as well. Okay. Next, under old business, first item is the Lebanon Township Mechanics Bay floor reconstruction contract. Last meeting, we awarded the bid to ATEC Concrete Company. The attorney and the company have drafted this contract, which we have in front of us, for the amount of the bid that was stated. I don't know if there any discussion in the contract.
Yeah, this would be for Matt. An overall question: do you see any areas which is going to cause an exposure for the township?
The contract, the vendor was great to deal with, mm-hmm. and they agreed to our provisions. So, I mean, to the extent we can protect ourselves contractually, we have done so. There's no. Normally, we've had, do we want to take this additional, and I come to you guys for relief because it's not my call. We didn't have any of those in this back and forth. So,
well, they're a big firm, too. You know?
Yeah, they've done this before, but they've done.
It's like $5 million jobs.
They couldn't have been better to deal with.
Well, so we have performance funds, everything in place on this.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking, too, because there's a lot of mentions of things will be forwarded to the clerk, and I want to make sure I see everything that comes in to make sure that, and I'm sure they will, but I don't want to just assume.
Okay.
And there was one thing here on under change orders and cost of project, which is 11. I guess it's XI. I don't know what, it doesn't have a page number. Change orders and cost of project. The township engineer is authorized to approve change orders so long as the change order does not substantially increase the cost of the project. So what does substantially mean? Plus or minus 10%?
No, it's lower than that. That's clearly substantial. If we want to insert a number in there, I can do that. But no, 10% is absolutely a substantial increase. Normally, it's closer to 1% than 10%.
Okay.
If that would stand up as 1%, I
Well, the thing is, the other change order process would be to simply come back to you for formal approval. So if it's more than 1%, bring it back to the committee.
Right. Well, even under this contract, it says the township engineer. Can we direct the township engineer to only authorize subject to? So we're not changing the contract
correct.
With them.
We can do that.
We'll
sure.
authorize
that. That's a way to do that without altering the document.
Yeah.
Instruct him that any change order shall come back to us.
Well, should we say any change order with a cost impact? For example, if it's a technical change around the drain,
right?
And the engineer
and
says
change
it's completely
with a cost increase.
Yeah,
so every once in a while, a component part goes down or whatever, and it's $800 decrease. We're not
right.
going to. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Then.
Should that be a separate motion? Because that wouldn't be attached to a motion to approve this contract.
Yes, I would ask that we do that. That would make it easier for me to okay. tell the engineer that it's not my opinion. It's the formal action of the township committee.
Page 2, scope of work, first paragraph. I think there's a typo in that one. It says the last sentence of scope of work, Roman numeral 2. The specifications as debt forth in the bid documents, it must be set forth.
Yes, do you see it, man? I know it was sent to once before as a.
Yeah, you know what? Mine picked it up, so.
Oh, okay.
I guess that didn't get
it's set forth in here.
Oh, interesting. Oh, so this
maybe
must
they
be
sent
Friday's
it. Yeah,
version.
This is
yeah,
Friday's version. Okay,
yeah,
so you got
sorry.
That. So that's good. And along those lines, now this maybe this is a term, I don't know. Under 13, I guess that is, Roman numeral XIII, delivery date and time limits, the contractor shall prosecute the work?
Yeah.
That's a word, huh?
Yeah.
For this?
Done.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay. Then I see. Disputes are going to be handled in Warren County? Is that like an out-of-county thing we have to do, or is it...
No.
That's miscellaneous, XIX, second to the last page, I guess. C. Superior Court of New Jersey, Warren County.
No,
uh-huh.
It's going to be Hunterdon.
Version says Warren.
Mine says Warren in this case, yeah.
And then on the very back, I don't know if this is a what do you call it, notary public date. It says signed and sworn to me before in 2017.
That's been updated. Huh?
All right, so that's updated. Yeah. All right, so this is the Friday copy then. Yeah. 219. And then the only thing.
It's
not?
There was a different one that was updated.
All right, so yeah, it's got to be 2019.
Very back. Well,
I got nothing. I'm missing the back page.
We'll just make sure that's 19.
And then, did you get it, Matt? I don't
yep.
want to keep going on. I know this is dragging on, but the only thing I would say about this, and Tom may know more about this, it's my inexperience in this area, but I highly suggest that we have some kind of pre-production meeting with these people, because Warren's got to move equipment out of there. We've got to talk about what's got to go, what's got to stay, when it's got to happen, when it's...
Shouldn't Warren have that meeting
yeah.
with them?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We
yeah.
need a pre-production meeting. It's like we used to do that when we were filming commercials. You get everything ahead of time, and so that way you avoid, like, oh, I didn't realize I had to move this thing out of the bay. And
I
then
think those guys would be anxious to move their stuff because they want this done. So if you want to coordinate
yeah,
that
Yeah, I'll
with
coordinate
them,
that. That's good. I'll learn a lot in the process.
I thought that was already somehow in here. Don't they
I
have to start the work
mobilization
within 20
called.
Days?
It's called mobilization. Yeah, but they're starting the work, but then you've got to think about what happens before you start the work. You've got to take the equipment. You can't just, like, start.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We have to be ready before we
well,
tell
then
them
that means
start.
I got to talk to Warren and make sure we're ready.
Oh, they already have a plan.
Okay, well, that's good. Because I mentioned something about it the other day, and
you've been playing it for a long time.
Yeah, they got to take that lift down and everything.
I just think this is. I don't want anything to go wrong with this one. We finally, after how many years, are getting this done. I want it to be done, gone. That's the end of it.
Okay, any other comments or discussion on the contract? The motion would be to authorize the contract subject to the revision of Warren County to Hunterdon County. That's the only.
Well, you have
that I call.
219 and the debt, those
yeah,
sets
that,
already
but that was
taken
already
care of.
Yeah.
So.
And it's authorized the mayor and clerk to sign? Is that the signature in the back?
Yep.
Yeah, and then this is going to be handled a different way, the 1% thing. We're not putting it in
right,
here.
That'll be a motion right after we do this motion.
Okay. Oh, was there an Exhibit C? I didn't see an Exhibit C. It says Exhibit C here, but I didn't get it.
What number is that on? What section?
It's on, it's hard to tell because it's not page numbers on.
Eight?
It's, eight, under the last section of affirmative action.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, that's a standard exhibit that we use on all of them. I could send it to you.
Yeah, just send it to us just so we have it.
I assume they're already in the bid that they agreed to as well, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you've got the, okay, so we have the set is taken care of, the 2019 was taken care of. Warren County, you mentioned that one?
Yeah,
okay, the Hetherington County. Okay, we're good.
Are you making a motion?
Oh. Let's see, what would the motion be for this? To just accept
to
the contract?
Yeah. To authorize the mayor and the clerk to sign.
Yeah, okay. I'll make a motion for the mayor and clerk to sign the Lebanon Township Mechanics Bay Floor Reconstruction Contract.
With ATEC?
With the ATEC Concrete Company of Edison, New Jersey.
Is there a second?
A second.
Roll call?
No.
Yes.
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 Tornado.
Everybody.
It's a flash flood warning. So
everybody.
As long as it's not a tornado.
Oh, no, there's a tornado, too.
No,
I'm sorry.
Not
this
here.
Is the old one. It's came up from last time. No, it's flash flood.
We'll refer to Joe.
So next we will insert a... as just discussed, a motion where we will direct the township attorney before authorizing any changes to the contract with ATEC of any changes in excess of 1% of the cost of the contract to seek township committee authorization.
Engineer and increase 1%.
And an increase of 1% or greater. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion as stated by the mayor.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. So next up we have a revised agreement with the township zoning officer. So the committee has met, or the zoning officer came to the township committee to propose a change in his work hours. Township committee has met with him in executive session and agreed to the agreement in front of us. The union representing the zoning officer has been informed of this and, to my knowledge, has not, is it fair to say, Matt, they've not disagreed with executing this or no particular comments specific to?
Yeah, the comments are to the overall negotiations.
Okay. So the... significant to this would be currently the zoning officer, and for the last number of years, has been working 2 8-hour days a week. The proposal now is that he will work 2 4-hour days per week. Those days would be Wednesdays from 8 a.m. till noon with office hours to the public, and Thursday evenings from 4 p.m. till 8 p.m. with office hours to the public. In addition, he will have 2 hours per week of field work, and with his biweekly payroll time submission, he will report what the a summary of what that field work performed is for those on the 2 week basis. Though moving from a 16-hour week to a 10-hour week is a 62%, or that is 62% of his current hours. His salary will be reduced the exact percentage, 62.5%, and all other pro rata benefits will be 62.5% of what he had previously. I don't know if there's any other discussion.
I just had a couple of questions again, too. 7, Fleming shall receive 4 paid weeks of vacation, which equals 2 days of office hours per week. In 2019, it doesn't say anything about prorated. I'm just wondering.
That's how you're prorated.
Doing. Okay, so it's not
two office hour days per week. That means 8 hours per week of vacation time.
8 hours a week times 52 weeks.
No, times of four.
He gets four paid weeks of vacation. So if he takes a week of vacation off, that's two half days.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. Just it almost looked like we were giving him, you know, 5 days times like 20, four.
It certainly wasn't meant to, and I don't think he or we understood it that way. So
it can't be held against us, like somebody could come back and say, you told me you're going to give me 20 days.
That's why we defined it, which equals 2 days of office hours per week.
Okay. As long as you, is Matt okay with that?
Yeah, I reviewed it. That's what it
is. Okay. That's it. That's all I have.
Okay. And you'll see it's been signed by the zoning officer, so the motion here would be for the mayor and clerk to enter this agreement with the zoning officer, unless there's any other discussion.
I'll make the motion to authorize the mayor and clerk to sign the agreement with the zoning officer.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Now, a related item is that our tax assessor, who's in the building tonight, she's been having evening hours on Wednesdays, with the zoning officer having evening hours on Thursdays from 4 p.m. till 8 p.m. To keep multiple people in the building, the tax assessor actually is happy to move, and we are happy to have her move her office hours to Thursdays from 5:30 until 8 p.m. And I should have noted before, both of these changes would be effective on Thursday, August 1st, just to give 2 weeks for the public to know that. So as of August 1st, the tax assessor's office hours would be Thursdays, 5:30 to 8 p.m., or by other appointment. She does have 6 hours a week of hours in the buildings for appointments. Any discussion, or would there be a motion to change the tax assessor's office hours?
I'll make the motion to change the tax assessor's office hours to Thursday from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. While we're on the subject of tax assessor, I just wanted to note as well, the last week in July 29th, 30th, 31st, the tax assessor will be in the office during daytime hours for the final submissions, questions related to farmland assessment forms. That is correct, Karen?
Yes.
Yep.
What is that, the last, what is that, the 28th,
29th, 30th, 31st of July. She'll okay. be spending extra time, a full days in the office for any questions on those submissions. Next on the agenda is the Bunnvale Engineering Proposal. to remind people, earlier this year, the committee recognized that there's a water runoff problem at the corner of Bunnvale Road and Highway 513. The engineer and the DPW supervisor went down and first reviewed. The engineer has come back, and we discussed it last meeting, and we requested additional clarification for what exactly he was talking about. You have the documentation that he sent, the clarification, and then Committeeman Wunder also further clarified. I'll summarize, then you can give alternative views enough. But what the clarification from the last meeting was, because of prior, I'll say prior initiatives to solve this problem, comments from both the county and other residents that it may or may not be wetland area down there, the question has been raised, and so the way to address the question of whether it is wetlands or not is to go to the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, obtain a so-called general permit number 6. This would allow us, if we get that permit, it would then allow us to do the work without anybody being able to protest that we're unauthorized to do that work. The engineering and that permit process would cost about $8,000. That's the estimate. We believe that that cost could be recouped from a grant from the Highlands Council. As we noted last meeting, that getting that grant to recoup that may require us to update, probably would require us to update our stormwater management ordinance. Now, additional
questions. I see Ron Mikowski's in the audience. Ron, do you have any memory of that?
Yeah, we had a wetlands delineation done right on that property. The engineer had to come out and do it. They said it's not wetlands.
But he doesn't have any, there's no paperwork or anything that we know of. You
just what he had.
I'd heard that it's delineated as not wetlands, but
no,
apparently there's
came from the engineer.
from Steve Reese.
Cost us, I think, $800 at the time to have the report done. There should be a record of it.
I remember that.
I know that, and Steve generally referred to that, but apparently that doesn't give us what the engineer recommends we need. And he's reviewed the file. He said we need this general permit number 6 with the DEP. Not that we show the DEP we've got a wetlands expert who says it's not wet. We now need another permit, is what he's telling us.
Above and beyond that.
Yep.
Even though it's not wetlands.
Because the concern has been raised, both apparently by the county and by some residents, we now need to prove that it's not. And the way to prove that it's not is to get the general permit number 6, unless anyone else reads the engineer's report differently. But
so I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Thank you.
In short, that's the proper permit we need for that. We're not looking for something, some sort of construction going on in there or something. Why? The reason I say is in our work, we dealt with, they had to get general purpose permits, GP 25, they're there to install things, and I'm just wondering what they're doing in 25 and the 6 is.
A 6?
Difference in cost, I know that.
A 6 apparently anticipates future construction. So, for example, if we had to resurface the parking lot or expand the parking lot because of additional needs at the library and things, we file this. It doesn't obligate us to do additional work. But that's the route that he and our engineer and the experts have told us is the way to protect the township.
Right. I mean, it's an open checkbook. I mean, $8,000 because you might want to increase the size of the parking lot. Won't they just cover the problem that you have now, which fill in the low spot?
You can't do that.
I understand that.
As I understand, okay. Historically, when we went to start to do some work, complaints came in. What if you're impacting wetlands? Of course, we don't want to impact wetlands, but the only way to prove that we're not impacting wetlands is now to get this permit.
We would change where the water went to.
That was a different concern,
right?
And that was the county concern about putting it into the wrong watershed, and we're no longer even trying to get it in the other watershed. But there also was a concern that's wet land down there and we're somehow impacting wetlands. So the regulations are just apparently expensive.
Well, it's weird, too, because when we were doing the garage, we got the freshwater wetlands permit, and then they said if you wanted to put
this
an
is
addition...
Your personal,
yeah. So if we wanted to ever put an addition on, you'd get a general, the number 6 thing, and it was because you could say it was disturbed already.
It's exactly.
So if that was considered... I don't know if it applies in government, but if it was considered disturbed... then it's a pass, almost, it sounded like.
Yeah, the general permit 6. But you got to get the permit 6. I mean, I think this is the engineer's opinion. We could go down and tell, we could direct the DPW department to go do work on it. But if we are violating wetlands rules, we're in a lot more trouble than if we get the permit ahead of time to show that we're not.
Right.
So it's the cost of adhering to environmental rules.
Mike, excuse me, if I may interject. I got a lot of experience around grading and drainage. From my visual observation, there appears as though swales were cut originally to create a water detention facility, because that's exactly what it does. The water will sit there. And I think that's why people think it's wetlands. It's just retaining until it's absorbed.
Exactly. And my understanding is if we leave it sit there indefinitely, it may become wetlands. Land can evolve into wetland.
It's sinking.
But we don't believe it's wet
this time. It's gotten bigger.
Yeah, well, this year it would get bigger. We've got historic rains.
Well, what lays in there starts to limestone underneath there.
So the question before us would be whether we're prepared to authorize the engineer to try to get a Highlands grant for $8,000 and to spend $8,000 on the permitting in order to then... What we were told last time the DPW supervisor was here, the actual work to try to solve that problem will be minor, or whatever that means, but to the extent that our own DPW department can do that in their current workload, it's the permitting that is going to be expensive up front. But the engineer is very clear that he thinks there's a risk to proceed without permitting, that we run into a bigger problem in the middle of it.
And well, maybe this, I'm just keen off of what Ron said. Is the six the permit that allows us the greater flexibility, or is there just one that could, is there a permit that isn't as expensive that just says you do this now and this within these constraints? You know what I mean?
We'd have to bring the engineer in.
Okay.
The engineer has advised us that this is the one.
Right.
That
I don't ever see the library being so busy that we need to expand the parking lot or something like that. That's what I'm just trying to figure.
But I think it's the direction that Bev said. It's because it's already developed in that area, we then get an expansion permit that somehow lets us.
Okay, from the parking lot.
Yes, exactly.
We're stemming off the parking
lot
instead of. Okay, now I see what you're
saying. Instead of getting a permit for open land.
Gotcha, now I understand.
I like to follow the rules. I worry about this stuff. If you don't do it the right way, it's going to come back to bite you. And I do think it's far-fetched, but that thing can be, in my opinion, it's almost like an attractive nuisance. If you had a kid that wanted to go swimming in there or boating, take a little raft in there. I know I'm the type of kid that would have done that.
I was only thinking because I think it's actually an unattractive nuisance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Mosquitoes and other things that could
happen. You know what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. That's that term. Yeah, you're right. That is funny. That's funny. Yeah.
But I think...
Yeah. I think it's something needs to be done. I mean, if it means $8,000, it's... But I think it's getting worse. It's getting... It is an eyesore, and it has other potential problems associated with it. But he would go... look at getting the Highlands grant? I mean,
either way, I think we have to authorize the $8,000, and he will, once he's authorized to do that, he'll work on the Highlands grant, unless we don't want him to, because, as I say, it would require us to update our stormwater management ordinance, but my suspicion is we have to update that
anyway. Yeah. It kind of gives us a reason to.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we're looking for a motion to approve for Steve Reese to...
I would say to budget $8,000 for the permitting and design fee for solving the Bunvale Library water situation.
Okay. I'll make that motion as you just stated.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Any other old business anyone would like to bring up? If not, then we're on to new business. And the first item of new business, which could arguably be old business, is Wendy and Jonathan Brown of Maple Lane asked to give a presentation on their situation. If you wouldn't mind coming to the microphone, so the committee has received your...
Will they prepare? Can I have a timeout? And we'll run through
the sure.
Thank you.
So the committee's received your information?
Yes, about a month ago, I sent an email, and then I noticed that it wasn't being delivered on the internet. We have spotty internet connection. So then I came and hand-delivered copies to everybody on the committee that I could figure out who was who and drop them off with Karen. And so we're here again. Wendy and John Brown, 224 Maple Lane, in Califon, where Jura Road and Maple Lane meet. We're on the corner. And we moved here, what year was it? 2007. Around 2010, I was able to bring it to your attention that we were having water issues on our property. At the time, I had taken a couple years to clear the side of the woods of my house. I'll find myself, and then there was this pipe coming onto our property. No one in the neighborhood understood it was been there for years. And then, you know, it just starts flooding. Water from underneath the road, or on top of the road, and our neighbors across the street, they would have like a ditch by the road. And it was at that time maintained by the town because I would be yelling at the DPW guys to stop clearing the debris so that the water could continue on my property. We would get oil and debris and plastics and garbage that would come through that pipe onto my property. I have physically put rocks there myself to try to catch the debris. And we've also put a fence that we had to jimmy around that area so that we could, you know, not block it because then it would definitely come across the road. So, but over the years, the neighbor's ditch hasn't been maintained, and now the water has been coming over the road. I unfortunately had to post a video on the Lebanon Township Facebook page to get your attention and Warren's attention again because we can't go on with this. We've tried in past to work with the town. They had the town engineer at the time was, I believe, Steve Reese. And he came and did an assessment and provided a project plan. It was told that we would all chip in. So we were told to take money out of our 401k right away, six grand. And that we would all chip in for the project, which we had no problem doing. We understand this is a small town. We're trying to do our part. We're not here to rip anybody off. We're just trying to get this problem solved because I don't know how a pipe can be put under the road onto somebody's property without an easement, without anything.
Yeah. And there's no outlet for it. So it just goes and floods our property like it's an overflow pond.
You know, and
there's no stream to take it away or anything.
It's affecting our septic. Our sump pumps constantly going for months on end. We have animals. We have gardens that have been washed out at least four times this season. Yes, I know it's been a record thing, but I have been documenting this since 2010. I have pictures, videos, emails, everything of what has transpired from then till now. I came here with a lawyer because we wanted to make sure that, in fact, looking at our documents and our deeds and everything, that there was no easement. He concurred there is no easement. I don't know what I need to do, but I will do whatever it takes to get this problem fixed. I will work with you. I'm trying to think outside the box. You know, the last time Warren came, he did talk about a possible solution. I don't know if he brought that to your attention. Bev, I know that Warren was up there yesterday with maybe you. I saw dark haired, and I figured I'll just let you do your thing while I was weed whacking. So I guess I assume he told you what we had spoke about and what he thought would be a possible solution, cost effective, not as much maybe as the original engineer project that was a little bit more labor intense and probably helped the whole neighborhood versus just us. But I'm at a point where we would accept an easement because I don't know what else to do.
Warren was talking about maybe he could put a pipe in it to at least get it past our septic. Because what it does is it floods our septic, so our whole septic field is get the water over the ground.
I was up there a couple rains ago, and it wasn't raining very hard. and there was at least a 20-foot strip where the water was just a sheet of water coming across the road like you were describing.
Down our property.
It comes down our driveway, all the debris
from across the street.
It almost seems like that road needs to be resurfaced with a crown. It would be very beneficial, maybe not, cure-all, but...
You know, the brook is 150 feet away or something, you know? And instead of going into the brook, they put it all on our property.
I saw it. It's coming right across like a sheet of water.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you drove across it, you'd hide your
back there that, it was bad, but all winter, they were in mud up to their knees.
Yeah. And never, of course, fencing deteriorates, but this is helping it. We've got, all our fencing is now is rotted because of all the constant water. I mean, something's...
Yeah, hundreds of fence posts that we dug, hundreds.
By ourselves.
Probably 300 of them.
We do all the work ourselves. He mows, I do all the rest. I mean, I cut trees down, I'll dig a ditch, I'll help. I need help. I'm begging you.
Well, while I certainly see from the information you sent that there's been a long history of discussion,
yes.
For the now coming on 4 years that I've been on the committee, it hasn't been before us before,
right.
And I think for at least three of us.
Right.
So I think what I personally am doing is obviously listening. You've put it on our radar screen. The only time we as a committee can speak is when we're in public meetings or in executive session. So my request is that we discuss tonight in executive session with the attorney. You know, we've just got to act appropriately on all sides.
Well, Beverly, did Warren come up with a...
And maybe Brian, Mr. Wonder can shed some... There's been a previous conflict with my office.
Yeah.
I don't know if that still exists. Mr. Galena had carried this forward.
You know what the conflict was?
No. Yeah, and there's multiple parties involved, so I don't know that we could answer that. But the point is Mr. Galena, maybe quicker and faster, that he continued to...
So you can, and we're not allowed to know what the conflict is?
Oh no, you are. I'm not. I don't know what it. I don't know what it is. I'm sorry. Predates my existence with the firm. I apologize. I could ask you directly if it involved you. You don't. Whether it was a conflict with the Gephardt and Kiefer law firm, if you were represented by them at any point in time. Other than that,
But there were other parties to that agreement.
I know. That's what I mean.
It could have been somebody else.
It was an attempt to bring in multiple parties, and Mr. Galena, who's still affiliated with the township, correct?
He's our plan.
To John all the time, and he and I have done this on other matters.
Would we be able to discuss with you issues concerning this, or would you be conflicted until you find out otherwise?
Well, I can. If you can say clearly that it doesn't involve you, then I can address the concerns vis-a-vis them. But
okay.
I'm really hesitant to go any further than that. And the other thing is, for the sake of expediency, if Mr. Galena looks like he put time and effort into this to get this to a point, obviously to the point where it needed to go.
I mean, before we get it to an execution point, I personally, and I think the committee, needs guidance from an attorney.
Okay.
And so I guess the question is if you would be prepared in executive session to give us any guidance tonight, or if you would...
I could talk about the township's obligations.
That's okay. Then let's start there and then figure out.
Can I just ask a question, though? It is the township's responsibility when water goes over a road. You're responsible for the road, correct? And that if water goes over the road...
That's what we need to understand.
Then you need to do something about it if it's going on somebody else's property, a resident.
We need to understand that.
Yeah,
because
the water, we have to go all the way basically back to the source, and there's and I think that was Mr. Galena's attempt was to involve other parties upstream, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's where the conflict was.
Yeah, okay.
Problem.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean it makes sense because the Browns have indicated it doesn't involve them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do we know why? I mean, it looks like there was the agreement drafted in 2011 to get this. Do we know what canceled it?
There was a change of guards, and someone didn't like...
And they said, we're just going to table it.
Okay. We're not denying it, we're not approving it, we're tabling it.
Well, from
and
minutes...
And someone said to me, well, it's between you and your neighbors. Really?
From the minutes, what I could tell, at the time the agreement was actually drafted, it was a very large portion of the township's DPW, Department of Public Works, budget. And so originally it was said, let's put it in the next budget cycle. And then I can't tell exactly what happened. I hear what you're saying was a sentiment, but I haven't found that in the minutes.
I think there was a concern about setting precedents.
And that clearly is a concern of the township.
I understand
We have a lot of hills and a lot of water,
and we have to figure out. But, here we were ready. We're pulling money out. After we pull it out, then what? We get strapped.
Yeah, I can't speak to that.
Yeah, I know, but it happens. So, So what happens next? Are we going to be informed after you meet? Like, are we meeting again? Do I need to get a lawyer? Because I have to fix this.
We'll certainly be in touch with you to let you know how we move forward. The committee, a representative of the committee, will be in touch with you.
I don't think
we gotta organize ourselves tonight.
I don't believe you need an attorney at this point.
Okay, I hope not.
Yeah. But you have every right to one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And just so we're clear, even without conflict, my responsibilities to the township as a whole.
Yeah. I let my attorney go because we solved it. And then he says everything's fine. I'm like, because I haven't heard anything. I'm like, well, we're supposed to all chip in.
I think the town didn't want us to be involved with individuals in a contract. I think that's what it was.
Mayor, we can also find out from Warren if he has this road slated in the future to be resurfaced.
Warren knows the ins and outs, the dark areas, the light areas.
Well, Warren at the time was saying, well, there's a stream in the back that carries it out, and we're like, no, there isn't. He said, I used to see that stream when I was a kid. Well, last time I saw him, he goes, I really thought there was a stream back there. He goes, but then your wife showed me there isn't. So it's just... if it's dry, if it's a real dry time, it's fine. But
I just don't know how someone can put a pipe underneath a road onto someone's property.
Well, it drains down from.
I still don't understand the pipe thing, and no one knows where it came from. No one knows where the pipe came from. It's been there 30 years.
But it was installed after the road was installed. Or you believe that the pipe was put under the roadway, not part of the original.
I don't
construction.
Know.
We don't know. Okay.
Said they replaced it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you need
it's like a 16-inch
pipe
coming over. We're talking millions of gallons of water coming out.
Really? It's really not fair.
So the basement really flooded once. Destroyed it.
It's really not fair.
You put it on our agenda.
I'm just letting you know. I've had a fight for my son. He's 20s with Asperger's. That's why I had to put this on hold, because I had a fight with the town to get him out of district. I had to go to Trent in front of a judge for $10,000. I had to scrape money up to fight for that. He's doing well. He's doing great.
That's great, dear.
Now I'm this. Now this is me. So this is me.
Yeah, and I think just the fact that we were out there,
you
answered one of my questions tonight, the rocks. Why were the rocks? Now that's like the pieces come together.
Because it would push... The force of the water would push branches in, all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to block it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, hold off the force of the water and at least catch some of the debris and stuff. And there's a lot of sediment now from the road,
that's
built it up. So.
Yeah, we have to kind of figure out, and again, if it's not Matt, it's John Galena, but, what's the township's obligation? What's the civil obligation? Just know that we're not talking because we have to talk to them. But we went out there.
I'm dealing with a new group of people. That's what I'm capable for.
Yeah.
So thank you.
This committee does get things done. So whatever the conclusion is,
we appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Good night.
So next on the agenda. And this is really an introduction to new business, not asking for action tonight. But it's come to my attention, at least, that our open space ordinance hasn't been updated for some time. And the state allows 7 different uses of the open space trust fund that we have. Our ordinance allows 4. This ordinance was established by referendum and then modified again, I think, in 2012 by referendum. So, as I've been advised by our attorney, in order to modify this ordinance, we would need another referendum. The clerk informs me that to have a question on the November ballot, the county clerk has a deadline of August 16th. So we've got one meeting between now and then. That's why I didn't want to, you know, surprise this last minute. We have to decide tonight or you know, we lose a whole year.
We still got that one penny thing?
We have 1 cent of open space tax. This wouldn't impact the tax rate. This would impact how we can use it. So the four, there are three items that we do not include as a potential use in our current ordinance. One is development of lands acquired for recreation and conservation purposes. So as discussed with the attorney, for example, if we wanted to build a tennis court at Memorial Park, that would be considered development of that open space. Of course, it would have to be in conformance with Green Acres rules, but we right now, without modifying to allow that development use of funds, we couldn't do that. We couldn't use the open space funds for that. The other is historic preservation of historic properties, structures, facilities, sites, areas, or objects, and the acquisition of such properties, structures, facilities, sites, areas, or objects for historic preservation purposes. For example, the county gives grants for historic preservation. If we were to try to get a matching grant, we couldn't use our open space trust fund for that. We would have to use other money. So that gives us that flexibility. And lastly, Blue Acres, which is for remediation of flood-prone properties. That's not included in our use of funds. So basically, unless someone makes a motion not to do this, at the next meeting we would have drafted with the attorney the ballot language and an interpretive letter and the like for the committee to consider a resolution to send to Mary Malfi County Clerk to put on the ballot. Any comments, questions?
I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Next, we have the shared service agreement with North Hunterdon Voorhees High School. This is a renewal of the SLEO agreement. It very much mirrors the agreement that we passed a meeting or two ago for the Woodglen School District. All the terms are the same as for last year's agreement, with the exception that the officers get an increase in salary, so the not-to-exceed reimbursement amount from the North Hunterdon Voorhees Regional District goes from $55,000 not to exceed to $65,000 not to exceed. Any other discussion?
I haven't had to call here. Is that the number still?
I guess actually the extension would be different, but 8523 is still the township's number, mm-hmm. right? So we would update that to 101 extension.
Yours?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, so then we just have to make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the agreement with North Hunterdon School District for our Class 3 law enforcement officers.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And next is a renewal of the shared service agreement with Lebanon Township School District. This is for grounds maintenance. Under this agreement, for the last couple of years, the school board pays $20,000 to the township for snow plowing, lawn mowing, and the like. Any comments, discussions, motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the agreement between the Township of Lebanon and the Lebanon Township Board of Education.
And authorize the mayor to sign.
And authorize the mayor to sign.
And clerk.
And clerk to attest.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, the agenda says VFIS accident policy for paid fire. As a short update, I think everyone on the committee certainly knows because we've had discussions on this. As of July 1st, let me back up a half a step. For the last couple of years, a combination of Clinton First Aid and Rescue, Highbridge Rescue, Highbridge First Aid, and then back to Clinton operating under Highbridge have been providing paid ambulance service to Lebanon Township during 12-hour weekdays and often on weekends. That agreement ended, and our own Lebanon Township Volunteer Fire Department has now established a subsidiary, I hope I'm saying that all precisely correctly, where they are now providing 24/7 ambulance service to Lebanon Township residents, hiring their own paid staff. When we did a review of the insurance coverage of those members, turns out we have what I'll call dismemberment insurance, injury-type insurance for volunteers. That policy does not cover paid members. So for the paid people, the insurance policy would be $1,308, and the motion before us is to authorize insuring the paid EMS members.
I'll make a motion to authorize that.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Use the bathroom, I'm sorry.
Okay. It's all the rain.
Yeah, it's the rain. I heard the rain.
So they're doing 24-hour now. Good.
Yeah.
I've seen them around.
Yeah. Big red ambulance, too.
Nice red. You see it coming.
He's well.
No.
I will do so.
Not at the end of new business.
I will do so. Yeah.
Is he working still a little?
Yeah. Shows up. He's in and out. In and out. Yeah. He's enjoying himself. You know him.
Is that rain?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. My daughter said Lebanon just got bombed.
What got bombed?
My Lebanon, she said she couldn't, when she got off the train, the rain was like 4 inches deep.
Oh,
I was worried about her getting home.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Before we jump back into business, we have a correspondence. I'll just take it a little bit out of order since we're talking about the EMS program. You'll see at the end of your packets it came in today. The fire chief wanted to update us that as of July 1st at 6 a.m., the EMS program officially started. He talks about the – actually, well, I'll just read it out. Between the hired per diem staff and our volunteer members, we have staffed the ambulance 24 hours a day. Thus far, EMS personnel have been completing daily chores on the firehouse, so while they're waiting for calls, they're actively working for the firehouse. And as I understand it, most of the EMS are dual firefighter and EMT certified, if not all of them. So they've been inspecting and cleaning equipment, developing goals to better our service to the community. Since the start of this program, our EMS response times have dropped to less than 1 minute, and our fire response had also dropped to around 2 minutes. This is a massive improvement from where we were 3 months ago when it was outsourced to others. One major highlight would be our mutual aid response, as an example, to Highbridge, where there was a reported house fire. The chief and qualified firefighters on duty for EMS were able to respond with an engine within 2 minutes. We arrived on scene in Highbridge as the third apparatus. The crew went right to work inside the dwelling. The dwelling was saved by all efforts and quick response by all. Timing is everything in an emergency, and I stand with pride for this department that we are able to help not only our residents but surrounding communities in need in a timely, efficient manner. We spoke highly of this program that is the paid EMS program and its benefits, and I will state it's going to exceed our expectations. It's important to recognize this program would be very difficult without the support of the township committee. Just for full disclosure on this, for the committee's
note,
you know, you recall that one of the issues that they've been working extremely hard on is getting certification of the ambulance in order to bill for these services. They update as of today, they've responded to every request of the state for the certification. They don't yet have the certification. So for the last 17 days, we've been absorbing the cost of the paid EMS I've talked to them today. We, you know, by the end of this week, we may start putting other additional inquiries into the state to get that paperwork to us. We don't know what we're waiting for, but that's an update.
I don't know if it's this call, but it it was probably about a week or so ago. My wife actually witnessed, I don't know if it was this house in Highbridge, get struck by lightning, saw the fire start, called 911, and in the time from that hit to, like, there was 3 minutes, 4 minutes top, she said that there was trucks there, the whole side of the house was engulfed. So minutes matter.
Yes.
Mm. You know, she was amazed on how fast, from the time that she saw it happen, it lit, and she called 911, that it, you know, if it was another 5 minutes before somebody drove by that house, it would have been totally engulfed. So minutes make a big difference. It's very clear, that point.
So the fire department did tell us that running their own EMS would improve service, and so far they're convinced it has. Okay, on to the next new business item, YMCA Active Older Adult Center request for donation. We typically donate $4,000. We've budgeted $4,000. Brian, I don't know if you'd like to add anything.
I believe at budget time, Committee Member Key graciously thought that $4,500 would be good, and we put that in the budget.
Did we put...
Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
We did. I looked in the balance.
It is $4,500.
Yeah, that's what we talked about.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we can exceed their request? Is that your proposal?
Yeah. We'll make a motion to up it to donation to $4,500 to the YMCA Active Older Adult Center.
Awesome. Can I second it?
Yeah,
you're okay with
motion.
It, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And could you also maybe in the future update us on their? I remember last year there was a discussion that they would be reaching out to other communities to try to leverage this.
No, I don't think they made any progress whatsoever.
But I think, you know, we're doing our part to help them leverage. If they could continue to leverage, that would be great.
They didn't seem to want to take it beyond just sending out a draft letter.
Next is the social affair permit, Friends of Memorial Park, the event date 9/28/2019 for serving and selling alcohol. Karen, could you remind me exactly what the form of this motion would be? Is this to approve or just to acknowledge?
This is to approve.
Okay.
The social affair
last
permit.
Last time we acknowledged that this is to approve
the use of the park.
It's been filed through the state, reviewed by all police and all other parties. Mm-hmm. Everything's in order. Is there a motion to approve the New Jersey ABC permit as described?
I will make a motion to approve the New Jersey ABC social affair permit as described.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. I have one additional new business item before I turn it over to anyone else who might have one. It was brought up proactively by our clerk and DPW/buildings and grounds supervisor that in the event that we do hire a administrator, we would need to rearrange the office structure here. One proposal that was brought forth was, you may be aware, you may not be aware, that there's actually an office/conference room behind the office of the planning board secretary, and that may be a suitable location for the clerk to relocate. I have to admit I had no expectation of relocating the clerk, but the clerk's view is that having the administrator in some of the vacant spaces up here is too far from where the public and the main hub of the activity would be. If we were to use that office, it would require some rework. There's some closets that would probably want to be removed, so we would want to get some plans together, check with the building code official if it requires actual architect drawings, and get some quotes. It would require some new furniture and the like. So I wanted to see if the committee would endorse moving forward, coming back with some expense estimates of what that kind of move would be, if anyone has any other proposals, suggestions. Not for a final decision at this point, but to explore that rearrangement.
Would this be something that would come out of what part of budget, capital?
It would come out of the buildings budget. Yeah. We allocated another good amount of money for the file and basement renovation.
Okay.
Given that we're in late July, I don't think we'll use that this year, so we could reallocate some of that. And I don't think this is substantial. I don't believe it's bearing walls and the like. I should know. I'm not an expert to say that.
And then I just was going to mention again, was that an actual conference room office or was it a filing room? Because the ventilation, that's the only thing I want to make sure that the ventilation is right for a human to be sitting in there.
What I would say is we'll make sure the ventilation is adequate in a window, but yeah. In terms of
freezing
what it was,
in there, so
in terms of what it was used
some
for,
kind of
I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever been in it, but it,
no,
it doesn't
I
look
didn't even
like
know
a file
it was there.
Room. I know. I mean, until you recognize that there's a big part of the building.
Seems awfully small.
That's why we need to evaluate. That's why I'm not asking for a final... an approval of moving that.
Yeah.
I'm just alerting people that will...
I'll make a motion to get some estimates to see if we can make use of the room that's behind the planning board secretary's office right now and make sure whatever the estimates would make it livable, compliant with OSHA, whatever has to be done.
Maybe put a window in the door.
Yeah, or maybe even in the wall.
Yeah.
There is a window in the office. It's not like the office doesn't
right.
have a window in
there's
it.
There's a window
there's
just like that to
window,
the outside.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, the clerk's closed off from the public then. That's what bugs me about that. You know, you got the little office where Gail is, then you have a wall and a door. And you'd be behind
well,
the wall
Well, at this
and
the time,
door.
I am. I'm. The door's closed into
yeah,
the office anyway.
But there's a window light in the door. Well, anyways, all those things could be looked at. Maybe
right.
a facelift, a little update, a little paint here and there.
Move your TV.
I think it would be worthwhile.
I mean, here's a curiosity question. That this, and I can't. I have to go in there with a tape measure. Is that the room back there, is it any bigger or any smaller than splitting that existing one and opening up the closet? I don't know. I couldn't.
Splitting it up into one office, you mean?
Yeah, two offices. Is it? I don't know how big is the space in the back compared to like
The one in the front.
Your
like
office now.
The wall?
Yeah, is that if that was two offices?
Oh, to split the office that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's smaller.
It's smaller than what's in the back there.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
I would say
I've always been in there with a lot of stuff in there, so it's hard to tell
say,
how big
I
the
would
space
say
is.
If you divided that, yeah.
Okay.
And I guess part of by putting this out on the table right now is to since we can only speak in public meetings. When you have a chance over the next few days,
mm-hmm.
you know, go and look at that room, see if you think it makes sense to, as a good solution, just so we're getting ahead of things. So was there a motion? Was there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Okay. And did you under new business give a recap of the movie camping?
Oh yeah, this past Friday, July 12th, we had the Recreation Commission had a camp out and movie in the park, and we had a bigger screen than usual because we were going to have more people. And we turned out to be a beautiful night. It was almost a full moon, and we had 115 campers and another 100 plus people who came just for the movie. And it was really nice. It was like San Diego that night, and everybody had a blast. There were no problems. It was good. The weather was San Diego. How do you have a rainstorm the night before?
Yeah.
I mean, torrential rain, and you go there with bug spray and everything. There were no bugs, and we were down at the bottom of the hill.
That's not my picture of San Diego when you said that.
The weather was like the world's most perfect climate that night, and then that moon came up above
that
the movie screen. It was great. I stayed over. I had the best night's sleep I've had in a long time. I was like in a cocoon in that tent. I haven't camped in like 30 years. So and then in the morning, you know, the kids were there, and everybody was very calm. We kept it simple because we didn't want to have problems. It's our first time. And that's everybody can't wait till next year. We'll see what we can do. Maybe have breakfast in the morning next time or something. And so
just to make sure we thank all the right people.
So I want to thank the Recreation Commission and everybody associated with that. The Friends of Memorial Park who cooked hamburgers, hot dogs, and served ice cream, chips, and Cub Scout Pack 92. and Darren, who's, you know, he's a yes. part of the recreation team and the Cub mm-hmm. Scouts, and it just was wonderful. It was a real coordinated effort.
And didn't the park committee have some?
Well, they
facilitation.
Yeah, you could say friends? We were saying okay. Friends of Memorial Park and the park committee. Yes. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you very much to all of them. Mm-hmm. Any other new business anyone have? If not, then we're on to presentation of vouchers.
Well, I was really excited when I got here and saw I had a voucher.
Well, we had 4 weeks. We missed a meeting.
Unfortunately, it doesn't really qualify, but I'll say it anyway. Staples, facilities officer for $129.96.
That's because you don't have DPW anymore. Yeah. That's why.
I have one for Griffith Allen Trucking for gasoline for the police, $1,052.49. Another one for Griffith Allied Trucking for gasoline for police for $1,275.61. Then I have one for Mama Telecom for the basically the installation and final setup of the phones. Looks like $1,039.98. And then I have one for D&L Pump Company, replaced a well pump in municipal building, and that was for $1,605.
I have for the U.S. Postal Service $2,000 postage. New Jersey Health Benefits, since I indicated this is two meetings, so for the June benefits, $26,885.17. New Jersey Health Benefits for July benefits, $33,204.02. Cooperative Communications, I believe the last, although it might be flowing through the last one, but our old phone provider, $1,045.87. Cornerstone Printing for the summer newsletter printing and mailing, $2,102.77. Cornerstone Printing and Imaging for the tax bill postage, 2019-20 tax bills, $1,200. County Clerk's Office related to the primary election cost in June, $4,515.13. I also have a Monmouth Telecom bill.
Is this for the new other phones?
This is for voice service, and internet service for the month of July, month of June, $1,528.07. I don't know why one went to me, one went to you. But.
And that was the installation call mm-hmm. on that one.
I think there's a couple different items on there that are relate to the installation or product.
Yeah, because I noticed we got two extra phones. We got another phone, too.
Mm-hmm.
So yours was equipment and installation. This is month. I mean, it's $468 for one.
That's across internet service.
Internet and voice service.
Yeah.
And that's for all. That covers library, municipal
yes.
building, and DPW building.
Yeah. Yep. So that's $1,528.07. Related to our reval, two invoices, since again it was 2 months, from Professional Property Appraisers Incorporated. The first, I don't know which order this is exactly, but the first is the payment for completion of 30.49% of the job, less the retainer, so net of $46,362. And the second is for a additional amount of 32.33%. With an adjustment net amount of $49,159.
Okay, I have one for Warren Materials for asphalt for $1,334.48. I have one for Komatsu Northeast for a monitoring bore and the freight cost for $1,604.90. And I have one for Griffith Allied Trucking for diesel fuel for $1,938.71. And that's all that apply.
I have none that qualify.
So the total voucher list in front of us is $195,487.95. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, a couple of items of correspondence. We have a letter from the Quakertown Fire Department. Last meeting, we agreed to donate a oil tank that was no longer being used for quite a few years here in Lebanon Township. They wish to thank the township wholeheartedly on behalf of the Quakertown Fire Company for your generous donation of a fuel tank to our organization. Your donation has allowed us to remediate the outdated and unsafe fuel storage on our property, improving our safety and allowing us to better serve our residents. As the landscape of emergency services in Hunterdon County continues to change, cooperation between municipalities become even more crucial to our mutual success. We are glad to know that we have valued partners and friends in Lebanon Township. If there is any way in which we may be of assistance to the township in the future, do not hesitate to contact me. And the chief mentioned in the past week or so that we've had good interaction. I don't remember exactly what the detail was, but we've had good back and forth in cooperation with Quakertown Fire Company. Next, we've got a letter from Saints Peter and Paul Roman Catholic Church regarding a four-day walk pilgrimage that goes through the northern, well, I guess it goes through the whole part of Lebanon Township. This will be on Thursday, August 8th, 2019. Anyone is interested, the information is in the clerk's office. Minutes from the Lebanon Township Environmental Open Space Committee meeting on May 6th. Any comments or highlights? None. Tax collector's report for the month of June, as we normally read it out. Taxes collected for 2019 in June, $140,256.19. Tax collected related to 2018, $34,033.96. Interest collected of $6,113.72. 2018 year-end penalty, $864.88. Interest for the year-end penalty, $66.16. Return check fee of $40 for total collections of $181,374.91. We also have the curator's report for the museum. Any comments, discussion there? Seeing none. And the correspondence I mentioned earlier regarding Fire Chief Rob Peck and the EMS program update. Unless anyone on the committee has anything else to bring up, we would now be open to public comment. If there's a motion.
Make a motion to open to public.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 A request. Any correspondence goes back to the American Red Cross regarding the MOU that I'd be CC'd on that?
I think definitely we will make sure that happens.
Sure. Since I received it initially.
Yep.
Also unrelated, I should let you know that I received a safety warning from Hunterdon County that a flash flood warning is imminent or occurring that stays in place until 2245.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think they also have a severe heat warning or hazardous heat warning for this weekend, warming cooling centers around the county.
110 to 115 degrees for the next 2 days into the weekend.
And that was Joe Maurizio who made those comments, just in case.
For the record.
For the record, yeah.
Seeing no other public comment, so.
Yes.
Would you mind just for the recording? I hate to meet you.
Wasn't required, so why not?
Okay. For tonight, we'll waive it. Sorry.
Mikowski, Rocky Run. On the internet service, which we're paying through the new phone service, will that now decrease our internet service payments for the other locations?
I got to look in because that's what I got. I saw some of that, so I got to confirm with them that that's how that's getting affected, because I didn't realize some of the things, but I'm not sure how it affects that Comcast or if they're absorbing some of that.
The reason I look at it from what you said, it was like $400-some.
Yeah.
And it just included, what, the library and municipal building? Or is that?
It's the library, municipal building, and DPW on the same phone system.
Okay, because, all right, and then the DPW, theirs is $200.
Oh, and the museum, that's right, and the museum.
Theirs is $200-some just for internet service, yeah, is what it says here.
Yeah, so I got to find out.
Okay.
More details, because that was the first I saw that was that way, so I got to reach out to them just to make sure I understand, because I thought it was on the Comcast. I didn't think they were providing internet service.
Now I also need to know if there's an outage, who do I contact?
Like the phone outage, you mean?
Well, or no,
the internet goes down.
If the internet goes down, do I call Comcast or do I call?
Typically you would call Monmouth, and Monmouth will, because it hits their server first. It comes out through the internet.
That's just for the voice.
for voice calls.
Right, but what about if the other internet, if our regular internet was down?
It would be the same thing.
It would affect
because
okay.
It goes to their hosted, like the server that we had downstairs now essentially lives at their facility. So a phone call goes to that box mm-hmm. and then comes back down the internet to our
phone. What about our internet for the same thing for the... to be on our iPads or laptops or whatever? That's the same internet?
Well, that's what I got to find out
and
why
so,
that...
Yeah, that's where my confusion is.
That's where my confusion is, too, because I didn't think they were providing internet. I yeah. thought the phone system was over the Comcast internet
okay.
service.
All right.
So nowhere along the way was there originally something about internet service that they were providing. So that was confused by that. So that's...
Okay.
I want to reach out to him and go, okay, did something change here? Or are you guys absorbing Comcast
right.
costs
right.
or eliminating Comcast
okay.
costs? Because
right.
they didn't have... internet to this location, which was why it was either they would have to bring a T1 line in back then and that, you know, separate for it, or, and that's not a T1 cost, a T1 it's a much more
yeah,
expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to figure out, are we no longer going to get Comcast bills?
Yeah, well, we did get a Comcast bill, and that's where I was confused because I read that on there also. But
yeah.
okay,
yeah.
if you're going to work on that, that's
yep.
great.
Okay, and the other thing I have is for the township administrator, for many years we were able to operate without one. We're no longer a peanut stand. I think we need an administrator. Times have changed. Whether we like it or not, you know, we've got to look into those things. And I think it's very good that you're looking into that, that you're moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing any other public comment? If not, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. One item we postponed from the beginning was Resolution 65.
Yeah, I've been checking the whole time. And
so
I
would officially move the. I don't think we need. We need a vote if we just table this Resolution 65-2019.
If they're going to hold off on a resolution to the next meeting, do they have to vote to table it?
No.
Okay.
You take no action. It just would sit there.
So no action on the.
If you take you table it till the next meeting, you have to hear it at the next meeting.
Oh, so we'll just take no action.
All right.
Go ahead.
Then we would go into executive session under Resolution 69-2019. Topics of discussion would be the, now remind me, the June 20th or the July 9th minutes?
July 9th.
July 9th minutes
mm-hmm.
With potential action afterward. And... we can discuss the...
Well, let's just back up. The July 9th minutes, we would be going into executive based upon, because I'm reading them, that it would be pending contractual negotiations as well as matters involving employment from our standard resolution, because they were the terms under which you went into executive session then. So unless there's something I'm missing, that would be a reason. And then if you're going, Mayor, to another topic... I'll let you state that, I guess, before...
And could that be topics of current attorney-client privilege advice to the committee? I don't think it rises to potential litigation yet.
Well,
or liability or...
No, the attorney-client privilege is fine. I just need
okay.
that it would be the subject matter that Mr. and Mrs. Brown brought to our
right.
attention this evening. We have to be somewhat specific as to the subject matter at hand, and that, I think, would be sufficient.
Be that
the record will reflect... It has to do with their drainage issues that they raised tonight.
How about if we be more specific drainage issues on Maple Lane?
Okay.